Welcome back to Us and Tomorrow, the podcast that asks big questions about our future. My name is Belinda Chen, and today we are diving headfirst into the neon-drenched, chrome-plated world of cyberpunk, or what used to be the world of cyberpunk. For those unfamiliar, cyberpunk is a science fiction subgenre that exploded in the 80s, which painted a picture of near future dominated by mega corporations, advanced technology, and a gritty underbelly where hackers, rebels, and augmented individuals fought for survival. Think flying cars, sputtering through holographic advertisements, sprawling virtual realities, and cybernetic enhancements that blurred the line between human and machine. But what happens when the future we imagined starts to look a lot like the present we inhabit? Are we living in a cyberpunk world? And if so, why does it feel so ordinary? Where is the rebellion? Where is the punk? Today, we'll explore the core tropes of cyberpunk, the corporations, the technology, the social decay, and examine how they've manifested in our own time. But more importantly, we'll ask why the promise of a vibrant, rebellious counterculture seems to have fizzled out, leaving us with a world that's all cyber and no punk. Let's start by revisiting the classic elements of cyberpunk. What were the key ingredients that made this genre so captivating? First, there were the mega corporations. In cyberpunk stories, these corporations were more powerful than governments, controlling entire industries, exploiting their workers, and shaping the very fabric of society. Think Tyro Corporation from Blade Runner or OCP from RoboCop. Then there was technology. Cyberpunk was obsessed with advanced technology, from cybernetic implants and artificial intelligence to virtual reality and genetic engineering. But this technology was often depicted as a double-edged sword, which offered both liberation and control. And finally, there was the social decay. Cyberpunk worlds were often characterized by poverty, crime, pollution, and a general sense of moral and ethical decline. The gap between the rich and the poor was vast, and the streets were filled with desperate individuals struggling to survive. Now, let's compare this vision to our present reality. Do we see echoes of these cyberpunk tropes in our own world? Absolutely. We have our own mega corporations. Companies like Amazon, Google, and Apple that wield enormous power and influence. We have our own advanced technologies like artificial intelligence and virtual reality that are transforming our lives in profound ways. And we certainly have our share of social decay. Economic inequality is rampant, climate change is threatening our planet, and political polarization is tearing our societies apart. So in many ways, we are living in a cyberpunk world. The corporations are here, the technology is here, and the social decay is here. But something is missing. Where's the punk? In classic cyberpunk stories, there was always a vibrant, rebellious counterculture fighting against the system. Hackers, rebels, and augmented individuals challenged the corporations, exposed their secrets, and fought for a better world. Think of Case from Neuromancer, the skilled hacker who could jack into cyberspace and steal information from the most secure systems. Or think of the cyborgs from Ghost in the Shell who fought against government corruption and corporate control. But in our own world, the rebellion seems to have been co-opted. The counterculture has become a marketing strategy. Corporations sell us rebellions in the form of edgy advertising, subversive fashion, and anti-establishment slogans. We are like consumers in a dystopian shopping mall, buying into the illusion of rebellion without actually challenging the systems of power. This leads me to a comment that I think is key to understanding our current situation. Cyberpunk exists now only as an aesthetic because the present is essentially that vision of the future stripped of any aesthetic, And so cyberpunk joins the milieu of nostalgic futures which haunt us in a present that can't escape a past smeared out into eternity, which can't imagine new futures to finally break the tension. So what happened? Why did the rebellion fizzle out? Why did the punk disappear? One answer is that the corporations have become too powerful. They control the media, the technology, and the political system. They've created a system where dissent is difficult, if not impossible. Another answer is that we've become too comfortable. We are addicted to our devices, our conveniences, and our curated realities. We are willing to trade our freedom for security, our privacy for convenience, and our autonomy for entertainment. We are like characters in a virtual reality game, unaware that we are being controlled by forces outside our awareness. But there's still hope. Even in the darkest cyberpunk stories, there was always a glimmer of resistance, a spark of humanity that refused to be extinguished. We can reclaim the punk by challenging the corporations, perhaps exposing their secrets if there are any, and fighting for a more just and equitable world. We can use technology as a tool for liberation, not oppression. We can build alternative systems that prioritize human well-being over corporate profit. We can create a new cyberpunk, one that is not just a reflection of our fears, but a vision of our potential. As we conclude today's exploration of cyberpunk, I want to leave you with a question. What does it mean to be a rebel in a world where the future has already arrived? The answer, I believe, is to reclaim our humanity, to resist the forces that seek to control us, and to create a future that is both technologically advanced and deeply human. The punk may have gone missing, but it's not too late to find it again. It's not too late to build a better future.